some of my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes me feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer when Sessions Radio, the Heritage Radio Network. It's February 15th, 2011. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43. And my co-host tonight, Ray Dieter from the DBA Bars. How are you, Ray?
I'm good, man. How was your Valentine's Day, Jimmy?
I had an awesome Valentine's Day. I had a home-cooked meal. I had some Barrier Ruthless Rye IPA.
Oh, nice, 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 nice.
That's and we great. Had a chocolate and beer pairing at Jimmy's Number 43. Yeah, it was pretty neat.
Yeah, we did a chocolate and beer pairing last night at DBA. I used the Mast Brothers chocolate from over on North 3rd Street in Williamsburg. Those guys make incredible stuff, really incredible stuff. But, you know, I want to make a shout-out right now to all of our listeners, all three of them. If all three of you actually make a phone call or actually log into the timeoutnewyork.com/vote, you can actually vote for my good friend Simon Glenn, who does the Chop Chop, which is the barbecue that we do at DBA in Williamsburg.
So it's DBA's Chop Shop.
Absolutely. And Simon's done a great job with us, and he's been nominated by Time Out New York for the best Southern comfort food in New York City.
It's really good.
No,
he's got boudin and some other really good New Orleans stuff.
If you guys have had Simon's food, man, you should definitely vote for him. Go to timeoutnewyork.com/vote and find the category Best Southern Comfort Food and vote for Chop Shop. And I'd appreciate that.
All right, Ray. And in your backyard, he sets up on Sundays with some outdoor cooking. When does he start that?
That's going to start up again in April, as far as I know. I mean, hopefully sooner. I mean, when the weather breaks, basically, it's when he can start going outside.
It's a great thing, a Sunday afternoon to hang out, DBA Williamsburg, and hang out with the Chop Shop food. I'd give a shout-out to GreatBrewers.com. It's our sponsor. They're the culmination of information from passionate beer wholesalers. They serve over 50,000 beer retailers in 14 states. What does that mean for you? It means that you can learn a lot about beer by going to GreatBrewers.com and check out Beer Cloud, their mobile app, to help you locate your favorite beers and store tasting notes. We're also supported by the people at the Good Beer Seal, an association of 27 New York City good beer bars. Check out GoodBeerSeal.com and Jimmy's Number 43 and DBA and others are part of the Good Beer Seal. If you have any questions, you can email us at beersessions@gmail.com or feel free to call in live 718-497-2128. We have some really great guests tonight and a very special show. We're going to start by introducing you to the people behind a really great homebrew event coming up on February 26th in Brooklyn. It's called the Brooklyn Wort, their first time guest to our show. It's Justin Israelson and Gary Jonas. They have an establishment in Brooklyn in Ditmas Park called Sycamore. How are you guys? Hi, Justin. Hi, Gary. How are you?
We're good. Thanks for having us today.
All right. Tell us a little bit about your place, Sycamore, and then about your special event, Brooklyn Wort.
Yeah, Sycamore is in the Ditmas Park area of Brooklyn. We, Justin and myself and my wife Allison opened up Sycamore 2.5 years ago, and we're a bar that we specialize in craft ales and whiskey as well. And this is Brooklyn Wort is an event that we came up with about a year or so ago. We constantly throw out some random weird events, and this was one of them. And when we first brought it up, everyone was kind of like not so sure about it, and then we went to Beercraft and spoke to Ben, and he was totally psyched about it. And then we went to Brooklyn Homebrew, and Ben and Danielle were also really psyched about it, and before we knew it, we had this really exciting event that everyone was totally pumped about.
And it's called Brooklyn Wort, W-O-R-T, wort, like when you're brewing.
Yeah,
exactly. What is the wort part of brewing?
That's something Ben and Danielle should probably answer better than.
All right, you shouldn't want to say anything else about Brooklyn wort because you might not get a chance to talk.
The wort is basically once you like boil all your grains and malt together, it's basically that's like the wort, that's the mixture.
Right, right, right.
So we were, I mean, at that time we're on and off brewers. We're not like, we don't call ourselves anything professional. But like once in a blue moon, we'll just have a good time to make some beer. And we came up with this event like one day while we were brewing, and then kind of so thing.
I think it's really cool. I mean, Beer Sessions Radio is a sponsor. I don't know what that means, but we're a sponsor. What's the website for this event?
It's brooklynwort.com.
Brooklynwort.com.
Yeah, the first time we held this, it was we just had probably about 8 to 10 sponsors, and they were kind of random. But then this next round, and we're trying to turn this into a biannual event, so you get your summer and winter flavors of beer. But we figured that this next, like this last time, the upcoming wort, we have just a bunch of beer related people, the people that just love home brew making and are just very involved in that.
So, how do folks get their beers entered into the show, the big show?
We have an entry date. I believe this year was December 15th, and we open up the ticket sales online, and literally within 1 hour we had 30 brewers signed up.
Wow.
So it's first come, first serve.
What's the capacity? I mean, how many brewers do we have?
So the first event we had at Sycamore in the backyard, it was in August, we had 20 brewers, and we had about 150 people come by and taste. This year, in the winter, this one we have in a couple weeks, is 30 brewers. We have 250 tickets sold, completely sold out event.
Wow.
Yeah. There'll probably be about 300 to 325 people there altogether. And we also are really excited about the food that we have at this one. We have the Red Hook food vendors, the Papooses.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah,
right.
They're totally awesome. So it should be a really...
So how does it work? Do you actually serve the homebrew at the event? So all the people that come to the show that pay the money for their tickets, they get to drink all that wonderful homebrew?
Yeah, I think that's the most exciting thing about this event.
Because I've judged some homebrew contests.
And?
And it's very exciting.
Well, a lot of the homebrew competitions are beers that are sent into a random location, and it's Joe Schmo drinking the beer on his own and tasting it and saying yes or no. This, what's great about it is that everybody's coming together and tasting beer and talking about beer, and it's a community event. And,
right. So the homebrewers have to provide enough beer to provide it for the masses.
Yeah, if everyone brings approximately...
That's interesting for homebrewers. I mean, they make 5 gallons at a time.
And that's exactly what it is. I mean, you're not going to get more than 2 ounces for a...
Right.
You're going to taste 30 beers, so 2 ounces for 30 beers, and then...
Thirty very interesting beers, I might say,
and that's another great thing about this is that the beers are going to be hopefully they're going to be really interesting. We have one brewer that we've spoken to. I randomly met her at a party, and she said, "Oh, I'm one of the participants." She sent her barley up to her mom's place in Alaska, and her mom smoked the barley in the salmon smoker.
And then shipped it back
to Brooklyn.
So you're gonna get
I love it. I love
right?
that. That dedication, you can't get that in any other industry.
So February 26th. Where is the event?
The event's at the Gowanus Art Studio. It's on 7th Avenue on 7th Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenue.
Because this is going to be a fun party.
It's going to be a great party.
Yeah. And our other guests tonight, who are kind of the center of homebrew supplies in New York City, obviously are Danielle Cafaro and Benjamin Stutz, who've been on the show a few times, from Brooklyn Homebrew.
Hello.
All right. Hey. Our favorite homebrew store.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So this is cool. You're making things happen with homebrew.
We are. It's going to be awesome and fun, and all of our customers are super excited about it. We're sorry there aren't more tickets for everybody, but, there will be a summertime event also.
Is there a guest list?
Maybe.
Of course for you guys.
Of course for sponsors. Beer Sessions.
You keep saying that to everybody. There's not going to be any more guest lists.
That's true.
And our good friend Mark Zapp is actually going to have his beer sculpture at the event.
What is that?
He got a grant from
Staten Island
to art build... Grant. A mobile brewing station, so it's half art and half...
What's a beer sculpture?
It's like a very, steampunk, built literally, all made from hand. It's giant boil pots and burners, and it's really awesome,
so
and it's fully functional.
So the homebrewing kit is actually a sculpture?
Exactly, yep. Yeah. It's completely functional also.
Oh, wow.
So he's going to be using that there.
Big wrought iron monster that he can hook up to the back of a truck and... make 10 gallons of beer wherever he wants. But
yeah.
He's going to be demonstrating that.
You're going to do other demonstrations and things at the event?
Yep.
This is cool. I mean, it's I've heard of I know the New York City Homebrewers Guild has had the Homebrew Alley for the last few years, and we've participated in that. I mean, they get up to 400 entries.
They do.
But again, it's what you said. The, you know, the, all the judging and everything else is pretty.
Yeah, this is remote. Definitely more community, and you know, everybody can come and taste. And
Ray, have you done any homebrew events at your place?
No. I've done some homebrewing in my life, but not. I've not done any homebrew events. I've judged a few at other places, but I would love to do some homebrew events if you guys. We should talk later on about that. That's
definitely
a good idea.
That's cool. There's always room for more.
Well, what's the message for us? I mean, a lot of our listeners are homebrewers. A lot of us make homebrew. You know, you guys are representing the homebrew community. I think you are. I mean, give us a message about this. You know, besides the fact that yes, there's interest in homebrewing, we know that. What else should we take away from this? Because this is going to be an exciting show. We'll talk get more into brewing in a little while with our guest from Valley Malt coming on.
Well, there's
too.
Just a lot of stuff to learn from all the brewers around you. And, you know, even if you don't brew, you can go and learn about the beer. All the brewers are always super excited to talk about what they're doing and what's in their beers. And, you know, everybody's very friendly in the brewing community. And, you know, Valley Malt, who's coming out next, we're very excited about them because we're selling their malts now. And everybody's brewing beer. A bunch of our customers have brewed all Valley Malt beers, and so it's all a big community.
What are we drinking right now? Is this a homebrew that we have right here?
This is a Valley Malt beer, actually.
Ryan Hasselman, he works with us at the shop. He brewed this. He said it was supposed to be similar to Arrogant Bastard, but it's all Valley Malt pale malt that they sell.
Has it been aged at all?
It was a pretty quick turnaround, so
okay.
It would be, you know, it would benefit from a little conditioning time, but it's pretty tasty.
Wow, yeah.
I just want to say another advantage of homebrewing is that you have the ability to be as flexible as you want and creative as you want versus the commercial brewers, which do have to appeal to the masses a little bit. So I think that you're going to see at this Brooklyn Wort some really creative
crazy
beers.
Stuff.
And I'm sure that you guys at Brooklyn Homebrew have seen some really, really, really crazy stuff, good or bad. But I think that's a really positive thing about homebrewing in general.
I think it's safe to say if you're kind of a guy like Mayor Bloomberg who has ice cubes in his beer.
I heard about that. Can somebody tell me more about this?
I think that you're probably not going to enjoy a homebrew.
I wouldn't knock him, but I think
I'm not going to knock him. But it's like he put
some
ice
people
cubes
when
beer.
They go to the beach in the summer put ice in their, you know,
Bloomberg
their
can
lager.
Try to come if there's room. Great. If not, sorry, Bloomberg.
Well, and the president too. The president. He served homebrew at the Super Bowl party.
Mm-hmm. He did.
I think that's amazing.
Did you guys hear about that?
Yeah,
that was kind of all over the place.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And they use the honey that they collected off of the actual White House honeybees.
Okay. So the beer is homebrewed at the White House?
Homebrewed at the White House, and they use the honey from the beehives on the actual
that
White House lawn.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty
awesome.
Wow,
I didn't know that. I heard that they had homebrew. I didn't realize that they actually brewed there. But Barack didn't brew himself.
No, the chef did.
The chef did. Hmm. So, okay, so the White House chef is a homebrewer.
Apparently.
That's amazing.
Now he is.
Well, he's, you know,
we got to get him on the show, Jimmy. Homebrew. We got to get him on the show.
I think Brie, our producer, let's go. Well,
that'd be a
White House homebrew. That's pretty good.
That'd be a good get.
And then the really cool article that you guys sent over, you guys are into Cantillon. I think a lot of people here are into Cantillon.
Definitely. And we just visited last month, and it was awesome, as everybody always says it is.
Oh, it is. It's an amazing experience.
It's amazing,
it?
And the beer is delicious, and Brussels
watching
is
that beer
gorgeous
ferment.
City.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's really cool.
You want, tell us about the brewing process with the lambic.
You should do this.
Well, that was definitely my first time really seeing it and understanding it, but now we're determined to make some ourselves, and it's a long commitment. It's a lot of aging. We need some French or Hungarian cedar, or what is it, chestnut or oak barrels.
So let's do a quick like Cantillon recipe, run it through. So you start with what?
A lot of raw wheat. They add a lot of unmalted grains to their beer. Belgian pale or Pilsner malt, I believe. Debittered hops or aged hops, so they're aged, I believe, you know, 2 or 3 years, so there's very little alpha acid left. They're not really putting them in there for bitterness. They're just putting them in as a preservative purely for the tannins and the hops, and that allows them to age it for, you know, 3 years or so.
But the important part is how it's inoculated. It's the mm-hmm. it's the actual spontaneous fermentation.
Yeah, just running it up to the attic, putting it in a shallow, open container, and letting the cold air blow in. So they only brew in the winter. then they just utilize the natural cold air blowing in, and it also brings in all the indigenous yeasts and bacteria and everything, and gives it its characteristic tart sour flavor.
So it's like aging prosciutto or something.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing that most folks don't realize that most lambic beer by nature is mostly a wheat beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very high percentage, mm-hmm. and gives it...
And the alcohol is very low, too, at 3.5%, 4%,
yeah.
maybe 5. But
especially compared to the Lindemann's lambics that we see here.
Well, it's a world apart. Let's not go there. Let's not go there.
Oh, cool. This is going to be a really cool show. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Andrew and Christian Stanley of Valley Malt, a small malt house in Massachusetts. We'll be back in a moment on Beer Sessions Radio.
Saying in her sleep, brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around. Our house in the middle of our street, our house in the middle of our house, it has a crowd. There's always something happening, and it's usually quite loud. Our mum, she's so house proud, nothing ever slows her down, and a mess is not allowed. In the middle of our street, our house. In the middle of our house. In the middle of our street, our
house. Tells you that you've got to move.
In the middle of our. Father gets up late for work. Mother has to iron his shirt. Then she sends the kids to school.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Thanks to our sponsor, GreatBrewers.com, and we're supported by TheGoodBeerSeal.com. Looking forward to the Brooklyn Wart, February 26th, here in Brooklyn, BrooklynWart.com. It's going to be pretty cool. We had the founders of the Brooklyn Wart on from Sycamore, and the guys from Brooklyn Homebrew. I'm really excited. In fact, I'm shaky. That we have, to me, the rock stars of the brewing world are here. Yes, man. We've got the guys from Valley Malt. We've had them on before on a phone call. But they're doing what I've been hoping that people would do for beer. Andrew and Christian Stanley from Valley Malt in Hadley, Massachusetts. I read your story on the website, and it's funny. I'd never thought about, you know, what goes into making a local beer until we talked to you on the phone last year. And I realized that there's really no local beer until you guys came along. So tell us your story, how you got started, and what difference you guys are making to the world of beer.
Well, we got started last November. We were driving home from Portland, Maine after celebrating a birthday up there, drinking some good beer. And we started talking in the car about starting a beer CSA in our town, Hadley, Massachusetts, which is a agricultural town.
A beer CSA. Why don't you explain what a CSA is real fast?
It would be having members that would buy a share, and then they would be able to, a farmer would grow a product, and you would get a portion of that
community
harvest.
Sustained agriculture.
Yes.
Right. That's what CSA stands for.
And we were thinking a BSA, a brewery supported, beer supported agriculture. And we started looking into it because there actually is a grain CSA in our area.
Oh, wow.
And we talked to some of the farmers that were growing grains and quickly found out that although the grains are available, you need to malt them in order to make a beer. And so we started looking into, could we ship this grain somewhere, have it malted, and then use it for brewing? And we found out that the closest malt house was in Wisconsin. And we just started looking into, actually found a couple of videos on YouTube and started malting in our kitchen, which I promote anybody who wants to try to malt, start in your kitchen and...
Like in a frying pan? I mean, how do you do it in your kitchen?
We started...
under the broiler?
We used a glass bucket to start the steeping.
A glass bucket?
Yeah, like a glass jar. We malt about 10 pounds at a time.
So you fill the bucket with
yep.
green.
Yep.
And then?
and then you let it soak overnight.
Okay.
And then you lay it out in like a big lasagna pan and let it rest for a couple of hours.
Like a cookie pan or...
Yep.
Right.
And then you would soak it maybe one or two more times for 4 hours.
Uh-huh.
Let it rest for a few hours. Soak it again for 4 hours. Do that for like 1 or 2 days and you'll start noticing there's a little
germination
happening. Right. It's called the chit. And that's the rootlets starting to grow out of the embryo part of the seed out of the plant.
Right. And when that happens, that's when you know that you're...
germinating.
You're germinating.
Yep.
And then you stop it.
And then you germinate for about 3 days.
Oh, really?
That yeah. Long. And you don't really want to do it in your kitchen because your kitchen's probably too warm. You'd want to do it somewhere a little bit cooler.
Not my house, but...
Like your base... Yeah. but... Maybe 3 days, and you'll split open the barley kernel, and you'll notice the little shoot inside. Once it gets to be about 3/4 to 1 full length of the grain, that's when it's fully modified.
And how do you stop it?
You would dry it, kiln it some way.
So you put it into the oven.
Yep. But not too high of a temperature, because then you're going to kill the enzymes. Because the whole point of malting... what we're trying to do as maltsters, our goal, our job, is to number
That's
one.
So you are a maltster?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
These are my maltsters.
So it sounds like it's a pretty
It's simple.
Intense. It's simple, but like
yeah.
onerous. It's like in a Manhattan kitchen, like my place would be, it would take up the whole place. I would have like trays of malts going and jars of things growing. It sounds like it's kind of crazy.
There's actually a similar initiative in the Nordic area where they're like trying
Nordic to, area of New York?
No.
Oh.
Like the Nordic countries to promote people to malt in the Nordic countries because they get a lot of their malt from other countries.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And so they're actually promoting people like malt in your apartment.
Home malting.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, so our goal really is to take that barley, break down proteins, bring out enzymes and preserve those enzymes so that they can be used to break down sugars in the mash tun.
But if we can't do that at home, we can buy it from you, right?
Yeah. Or these guys here at Brooklyn Homebrew.
So you're making enough now that you're selling to what? Brooklyn Homebrew Supply Store. And I saw your impressive list of breweries as well. Are you just selling them for like small batches of beer?
Yeah, yeah. That's really... We only malted about... 10,000 pounds, 16,000 pounds.
In your kitchen?
No. We have a malt house now.
Oh, okay.
Yep, in a barn.
We skipped part of the story. That's where we decided that we went from our kitchen, and then we were thinking, how can we do this a little bit better, more controlled? And I'm a mechanical engineer, and I decided, well, let's build a little system in the basement. And so we built this 10-pound system. It's got a drill for powering augers and... fan from a kitchen or a bathroom exhaust fan for powering the fan and a little heater. I was going to use a blow dryer, but that was too much force.
This sounds like a Rube
so
Goldberg
this was
thing.
Like a Rube Goldberg project, putting this little thing together that you could mount. You could
I love it.
You could malt 10 pounds at a time, which is perfect for a homebrew batch.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was working for a few months, and we were like, okay, do we make the next step? And We pulled together some financing. I probably have a picture on my phone here of us at this Western Mass Enterprise Fund where we got some money together for building our first big malting system. And once we had that, we stepped over the edge of the cliff and we're on our way to building what we have now, which is a one-ton malting system. And, you know, we have a wow. malt house and... you know,
great.
much bigger than a bathroom fan now to power the whole thing.
So you have
we've got quite
floors.
A utility bill.
You have a malting floor, like they have. Like I see these photographs, like in Scotland, of the guys like making malt for their whiskeys, and they've got these big rakes, and they like rake the grain over this floor where
yeah.
there's a fire underneath.
Yeah, that's so. There's a couple different styles of malting. There's floor malting and then pneumatic malting. Mm-hmm. Floor malting is that old style. You'll see them. It's only a few inches thick of malt on the floor, and they're raking it, or they have something that looks like a
lawnmower.
Lawnmower, yeah, that's self-propelled, and they mix it all with. And then there's pneumatic malting, which are these big stainless steel vessels with augers that spin around and forced airflow going through them. And we targeted toward the pneumatic malting side just to reduce the labor so that we didn't have to be there all the time. But just based on where we are with our design now, we don't have the augers yet, so we do a lot of the shoveling. So we have a hybrid system, I call it, because it's all pretty much pneumatic. So it's a stainless steel vessel, so but then we stir it by
the
hand.
Pneumatic maltsters. Yeah. I'm losing you guys it. In the technology, but I'm the beer that the Brooklyn Homebrew guys made is really good, the Valley Malt beer. And tell us a couple of the breweries that you are selling to right now.
Well,
you can go to valleymalt.com and check it out.
Yeah, our first customer was Wormtown Brewing in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Wormtown,
yep. Pub brewery, and also the People's Pint in Greenfield. They're also a pub brewery, very committed to local agriculture, so this was a no-brainer for them. They were so happy to support us. And they have a beer on tap right now called the 100% Local. It is... Everything was grown, malted, and brewed within 20 miles of each other.
I love that. That's
amazing.
Yeah, and we actually all got together because there's a group of us that are in the Pioneer Valley, like a grain growers group. And we all got together to kind of talk about the upcoming growing season. And literally, the farmer, the maltster, and the brewer were all hanging out in the room together talking about what to do for next year.
That's amazing.
It was awesome.
Any of your stuff available in New York City? Obviously, your grain's available at the home brewer shop over here.
Yeah. I mean, we saw the list. There were some Captain Lawrence, yep. Empire Brewing upstate.
Yep. Empire Brewing made a wheat wine with our malt, so they used a wheat wine. Yep, I think it's like 11%, and they used our two-row, and so 50% two-row, 50% wheat. Captain Lawrence.
What does two-row mean?
Two-row is the base malt that most craft brewers use.
Right. There's two-row, there's four-row, and there's six-row.
So it's a type of barley. Right?
Yep. Actually, I brought you some barley that you
can check
out.
Let's check it out.
Oh, cool.
I mean, this is like the building blocks of beer. Danielle, what do your regular homebrew customers, are they most interested in learning about? Do they want a kit, or do they really want to go into like the real basics of brewing? Or somewhere in between, I'm sure. But
The bulk of our customers are regulars, actually. And, you know, most of them are always wanting to learn more about brewing on a more professional level. I think almost all of them have brewery dreams and opening larger scale, you know, brewing setups. And we do have a lot of newcomers that come in, and we have great kits that we sell, and we're always happy to, you know, teach new people. And, yeah.
Hey, Jimmy, have you ever done any home brewing yet?
You know, I stay away from it because I'm a lazy cook. I don't clean. I don't scrub. I don't clean. So I wouldn't make good beer.
So I was just handed what looks like something. If I was having a massage, I'd be beaten with. Is this wheat that you is this wheat that you handed me?
That's barley.
Oh, this is barley. Yep. So and
that's a six row.
This is the six row barley, and it's called six row because up here that's where the seeds are, and there's six of them.
And yep, they're in a little floret. There's three on each node, which makes it a six row. If you looked at a two row, it would look a lot flatter, and there would just be one kernel on each.
I never saw real barley before. I've probably driven past it on the highways, but wow.
Wow, this is cool. Well, and the one reason we have Valley Malt on today and everyone else is that Time Out is releasing a very special The Ultimate Guide to Beer issue, and it's going to be on the stands tomorrow. And the great editor, Chris Schoenberger, is here with Jeff Gorlickin from Six Point. They made a special beer called Time Out for Porter. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Let them get settled in. We'll be back in a moment on Beer Sessions Radio. Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. What a cool show we have, Ray.
Oh, man, it's great. We got
a Brooklyn Wort, we've got Valley Malt, and now, for the first time ever, the Time Out and 6 Point collaboration, Time Out Porter. Let's raise our glasses and make a toast. This is pretty awesome. So, Chris Schoenberger, editor from Time Out, tell us about your special beer.
So I'm really excited to debut this on Beer Sessions Radio. We have our first ever issue devoted exclusively to beer.
I love it.
As you guys know, beer has been huge in New York for a long time, but I think this was a great time to do it because we're getting to a point where beer, you know, New York is one of the great beer towns in America now.
And it's about time that we finally raised that level. I think we are turning into a really great beer town.
Because not only are the beer bars so great that you can get, you know, every amazing import from all around the world, but we also have such a vibrant brewing scene around us with all the Nanos, Cream Port. We talk about Blind Bat in the issue, Barrier, and of course 6 Point has been doing it for 6 years now.
Jeff, how are you? Jeff Gorlikin from 6 Point.
I'm doing well. Thanks, Jimmy.
6 years, Jeff?
6 years.
Holy shit.
Yeah, long time. That means in 15 years we can drink. So, something to look forward to.
Well, this is motivation. A nice beer. Tell us what this beer is.
So, this beer here is it's a porter. We were kind of bouncing ideas back and forth with Chris. You know, obviously, Time Out is, they start in London. So, you got your London porter. Put a little hops in there to kind of Americanize it. A lot of roasted malts, really chocolatey finish. We wanted some low ABV, so it fermented out at like 4.5%. So
it's a session beer.
Session beer, pretty slammable.
Fantastic. That's kind of low for you guys.
Yeah, we're trying to dial some beers down. We just made a Saison that's going to clock in at like 4.2.
Wow.
So.
Wow, a new 6 Point beer for a new millennium. Or a new decade.
And everybody's asking me today, they're like, what are the trends for spring? I guess 6 Point Porter and Saison.
I think Saison, and I think that session beers are coming back, and I'm so happy about it. We've talked about this numerous times on the show. I'm really thrilled about having beers that you can like drink a lot of. As opposed to like having three and then you're hammered.
Yeah, we went to Germany in the Czech Republic in February. Everything there was 3.5%, half liters, things you could drink all day with your friends. So that would provide a lot of inspiration for the Pilsner that we just made, the Porter, Saison. So a lot of fun stuff coming up at 6 Point.
And this is delicious. This is a great beer.
This is great. So where are these beers going to be? I know tomorrow you have a special release of the Time Out for Porter.
Right. So you guys are the first to taste it. And then tomorrow we'll be releasing it at 11 bars, including DBA, DBA Brooklyn, Jimmy's, Mission Dolores, Bar Great Harry, Spite and Divo, Sunswick 3535 out in Astoria, Bronx Ale House. I probably missed a couple, but you guys can check out all of the beer issue at timeoutnewyork.com, and then the issue hits the stands tomorrow.
Yeah, we've got a cask of it in Brooklyn. We've got a cask of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
I'm going to have to come to Brooklyn then.
Yeah, we got a cask, too, at Jimmy's 43's. And this is pretty cool. And next week we're doing a special dinner with you, too.
Yeah, Monday the 28th. Jimmy is graciously taking us in at Jimmy's 43. We're going to do a bunch of wintry food. Bangers and Mash to get that Anglo connection going. We're going to have the Time Out for Porter, and we're also going to have three other 6 Point beers, including the Berserker Bock.
The Berserker Bock is a pretty great beer. We brewed it with Stumptown Coffee, and it's only the third lager to come out of our brew house. And it's another beer. It's about 5% ABV. A lot of coffee notes, a lot of coffee.
And Stumptown Coffee is like right by you guys in Red Hook,
right? Yeah, they're 8 blocks away. They're actually... our friends over at Mile End are celebrating their first anniversary tonight over at Stumptown. So,
you know, I had some chocolate from the Mast Brothers. Have you heard of the Mast Brothers chocolate?
Yeah.
And they're making some chocolate with Stumptown Coffee beans.
Yeah, they're making some amazing chocolate with our beer, too.
Yeah, it's all Brooklyn.
Just dropped the keg off there yesterday.
It's crazy with great stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we serve Orwash's bread, and they use your beer, too, which is pretty cool. So, Chris, you're right on it, man, with the New York's a beer town, I think. I think it's come back. I think about 5 or 6 years ago, people weren't really thinking beer. They were probably thinking, you know, cocktails or something. But it kind of started for me with 6 Point. Now I think we can say that New York is a beer town. Hey, Jeff, would you ever make any beers with Valley Malt? The guys from Hadley, Mass, they're growing this, like, their real small local malt up there. Have you heard of them?
No, I have not.
Valley Malt, you guys give another intro because it looks like someone missed you in the last segment.
I know the guys at Chelsea have been using some local malt.
Well, Mark's here from Chelsea. Yeah, this is are you the new brewer from Chelsea, Mark?
Oh, no, I'm not the new brewer. I've been there since 1997. I've been there pretty much since the beginning of the brewery.
So you're the old brewer.
There was a couple old breweries. The original old brewer is now in Cork City, Ireland, Russell Garrett. Chris Sheehan left to go to Port 44 in New Jersey. And, you know, I've been there since, like I said, 1997. So been making beer there for a long time. But I'd love to use your malt. But when I buy malt, I buy, like, you know, six tons at a time. I don't know if you can supply that yet, but when...
Yes, we could supply that.
To everybody? Because he might buy 6 tons, too. So, but, yeah, we're making a lot of good beers, and we actually used a lot of local hops this summer. We did a fresh hop beer from Finger Lakes Hops from Peterson Farms, and we're looking forward to doing more stuff like that. You know, we're in touch with... Peterson, and he's going to grow more hops for us next year, and he's not making a lot of money in hops, so he asked us, will you buy more? And we're like, yes, we will.
So, Chelsea, you guys are the only brewery in Manhattan.
We are the only brewery in Manhattan. We're the only brew pub in New York City. It's a weird thing, because you go to Portland, you're going to run into, like, you know,
Wait a second. Now, I've seen these Heartland establishments, and they're not brew pubs?
They're contract brew pubs. Well, right. All their beer is made in it's made in New York. It's made in mm-hmm. Greenpoint, but Greenpoint Beer Works. But then it's kegged off. So mm-hmm. no mm-hmm. beer is made at the location.
No more. They used to make it at the locations.
Right? They did for 3 locations, right? But that ended a while ago.
How long ago?
Quite a few years since Greenpoint.
Yeah, whenever they opened Greenpoint, yeah. yeah. Right. Where they make the Kelso too.
Yeah, Kelso and Heartland Beers.
Well, Kelly Taylor's a great brewer.
No, he's,
and he's doing the stuff for those guys, right?
Yeah, I like Kelly. He's and Al Duval works there, too.
Al's wonderful.
Al was a guy who brewed in New York at Zip City.
Zip City,
and,
right.
You know, Zip City was one of the first brew pubs in New York. He brewed at Zip City, and he brewed at the Tap Room, mm-hmm. which was the incarnation. You know,
right, after Kirby
right.
left.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Mark, how do you feel? I mean, you've been in beer a long time in New York. I mean, I remember was it the 80s? There were at least five brew pubs and breweries in the city.
I think there were maybe close to 9
yeah.
in like 96, you know, 95, 96. Big problem, real estate and rent kill you in Manhattan.
I'm just going to say this out there. A lot of them sucked.
Yeah. Well, and the same thing happened all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
There were tons and tons of brew pubs. They made bad beer. They were just... In for the money.
And it's like you don't make a lot of money brewing beer.
Right.
So what do you think about the beer scene now compared to then?
I think it's coming back, because I was very disappointed probably in, you know, 97 till 2002 that with so much restaurant business and wine and everything in New York, food, people would come into a bar, like people with money would come into a bar and go, give me a Miller Lite, give me a Bud Light, give me a Coors Light.
That's changing, though.
It is changing
every week,
and
actually.
The beer bars right. are the guys that are doing it.
Well, yeah. I mean, back in that time, back right. in the early 90s and the mid-90s, like, everybody had, you know, nothing, really, you know? And right. now it's like the worst beer you're going to find is a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale,
but they still
which is a great beer.
They still come into the brew pub and say, give me a Coors Light.
Do you guys make a shitty beer just for those folks?
It's not a shitty beer, but it's a
no, of
it's
course
a,
not, but
Kolsch.
You know what I mean.
We make,
it's a Kolsch, okay.
It's a Kolsch, and it's a really good Kolsch, and it always gets rave reviews at the GABF. We haven't won a medal for it yet, but it always gets a good judge result.
And what's that called?
Checker Cab Blonde Ale.
Oh, the Checker Cab, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, I've heard about it.
And it's, you know, it's all around town. We mm-hmm. supply, the majority of our business is, 65% of our business is draft sales to other bars, so.
65%?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And 50% of it is the Checker Cab Blonde Ale.
Right.
So we make a lot of that. And it's a very German-style beer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Pat, your boss is yeah. Pat. What's his last name?
Pat Green.
Pat Green. He is out there. I mean, he delivers his beer in a pickup truck.
Right.
He charges less for deposit than any other brewery in town. So he's a friendly guy. I love Pat.
Yeah.
And say hi to Pat. But I want to talk to Jeff a little bit, because, you know, we've got a really cool group here, and you're in touch with so many people in the city. What do you think is going to happen this year for beer? And any predictions and anything that you're looking forward to besides time?
I think
off
people
board?
Are going to drink a lot of it.
I hope so.
Yeah. Predictions? I do think the trend will be towards lower alcohol beers. They can tend to be more enjoyable. for the last 5 years or so, everyone was like hoppier this, hoppier that.
Right, double this, triple
double
that.
Double this, double everything, and then there's like not. We almost made a black IPA, but we were kind of behind the curve, and now there's like 17 black IPAs out there. So I do think the trend is to more traditional styles as opposed to hybrids and whatever kind of crazy thing you can do. And the other thing, too, is that if the beer has less alcohol, you could sell more of it because people don't leave the bars soon.
I agree with that. I love that idea, personally. So,
I do think you're going to see a lot more lower alcohol beers.
And that's Christian and Andrew, what do you think? I mean, you're at the ground floor. You're making malt. What's going on this year?
See a big trend coming up with nano breweries. And you're going to see a lot of nano breweries starting here really soon. And
in New York?
I know New England. Uh-huh. I haven't heard a lot from New York, but
a roving reporter, Dave Broderick, keeps us abreast of the Vermont. Revolution.
In our area, in Boston, in New England, a lot of nano breweries starting and a lot of really interesting ideas. I mean, yeast strains are key. Local ingredients are key. I really feel like we're on the verge of a really exciting time in beer in this area.
It's about time.
And just stuff that's going to, I think, really going to blow our minds as far as what they can do with yeast and what they can do with ingredients and creative ideas with nano breweries. I mean, we just were at the Blue Hill Beer Dinner where they had four or five breweries brew different beers with our malts, all different creative ideas.
Oh, wow.
You know, Kelso did a smoked triticale beer.
A smoked what beer?
Triticale.
What does that mean?
It's a different type of grain. It's like barley. It's like wheat. It's actually a cross between wheat and rye.
And you provided that?
And we provided that.
I never heard of that.
We made a crystal smoked triticale.
But that beer dinner was really exciting because here's five different breweries getting together, brewing different beers for this event, and all different flavors coming out, all different creative ideas. And I could see smaller things happening with nano breweries where, you know, at your restaurant, you could have five nano breweries do a beer dinner for you and come in with local malt or local ingredients or a different theme for that dinner. And I'm talking probably too high level, but, you know, just like I think there's a really exciting time coming with beer and
it's not too high level. Our audience is very well educated.
Yeah. But
even just because they drink beer, it's not that big of a deal. They're still smart. So
One more trend that I see, and maybe Danielle can weigh in on this, but I feel like a lot of women are coming around to the craft brewing industry and craft beer drinking, and I know when I hang out with my friends, you turn them on to one good Belgian beer, and out of a sudden, they're there every week at the bar waiting for the next great beer to try.
I know,
so
Jimmy is now hosting some type of lady brewery event.
Start over, Danielle.
Is this true that I hear you're hosting a lady brewery event?
There is Carolyn, who's the president of the Malted Barley Appreciation Society, and her friend Ruthie, who works at Brooklyn Brewery. They're doing Real Alewives of New York. You got the Real Housewives, Real Alewives. I think it's the last Friday of every month at Jimmy's Number 43.
That's
and then they're
that you're
joined by a bluegrass band. Watch out. Salesmanship. Well, we haven't done this before. We have so many guests in this room now. Between Ray and myself, plus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there's like over 10 people in this room.
This is a record, I think, Jim.
We're going to do something corny that we've never done. I'm going to make everyone go around. Just give it your 10 seconds. Tell me your favorite beer of the weekend, Ray. And it can't be whiskey.
No, my favorite beer this week, I got to say, it was the Founders Rye PA. I've been loving it.
Excellent. Next.
I'm going to go with the Kelso St. Kiwanis.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Benjamin.
Cantillon's Goose.
Yeah. Jonas.
I'm going to go with the Brewdog McKellar I Hardcore You.
Gary from Sycamore.
I'm into the Anderson Valley Stout right now.
Jeff from Six Point.
I'm going to go with the Barrier Brewing Karen Scotch Ale.
Chris from Timeout.
I was saying Barrier Rye IPA but now I'm switching to Full Sail Bump in the Night. It's my favorite black IPA so far.
Mark from Chelsea.
I just recently had a Boone Goose that I really enjoyed.
Angela from Valley Mall.
People's Pint, 100% local.
Christian from Valley Malt.
Captain Lawrence Winter Rye with and all local ingredients.
Jimmy from Jimmy's Number 43. My favorite beer of the week. Time Out for Porter by Six Point. So check it out tomorrow. We'll give you a few other Good Beer Sealed Bar events. Tonight, Rattlin' Hum is featuring beers from Geary Brewing, our friend Dave Geary.
Oh, Dave. Yeah.
And I think the other than the launch of the Time Out for Porter by Six Point, the real beer event of the week is at Beer Table. It's BFM, I can't say it, Brasserie de Franche Montaigne with Jerome Rebitz, who's been on our show. There's a three-course dinner tomorrow night. That is the beer event of the week. Next Tuesday, the Pony Bar is hosting the Trogue event. You can check out goodbeersteel.com for other details and visit greatbrewers.com, our sponsor. Thank you to them, and thanks for coming on Beer Sessions Radio. To Ray, Danielle, Benjamin, Justin, Gary, Andrea, Christian, Chris, and Jeff, thanks for joining me on Heritage Beer Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thank you to our Bree O'Connor and Jack Inslee, our producers, and we'll see you next week on Beer Sessions Radio.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.